Hello and welcome to Northwoods. We are so glad that you decided to join us for our Good Friday service. Today is a really special day for believers, and we are going to take some time in today's service to really acknowledge and thank Jesus for the sacrifice that he paid for each of us. Romans 5:8 says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die while we were still sinners. It's incredible. We have so much to thank him for, and his love for us is unimaginable. While you're here today and watching online, I'd encourage you to say hi in the chat. We've got a team ready to interact with you. They would love to hear from you, maybe even share one of your favorite Easter traditions. A little bit later on in the service, we're going to take communion together as a family. And so we would encourage you to look around wherever you're at, gather some things that you can use to take communion with us, some bread, some juice, whatever you've got really is going to be totally fine. And we invite you to participate. So we're going to start off today in worship. We love to sing to the Lord. It's a great way to express our worship to him. So why don't you turn up your speakers, sing out loud, and praise him with us.
Good evening, everybody. Why don't you stand with us? We're here to worship Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He's worthy of our praise and our adoration. Let's just turn our heart's affection to our Lord.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued.
to generation to generation, Lord.
I was lost in utter darkness till you came and rescued me. I was bound. Oh, my sin, when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home. Now your grace is always with me. And I'll never be alone.
So we choose to press into that right now. The fact that we will never be alone because of what he's done on the cross. He set us free. He's paid the price that we couldn't pay ourselves. So let's think of that as we sing this song.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power in thine alone can change a leper's spite and melt his heart of soul. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Dead and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from.
Let's sing it out to him.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the died my soul to save. My lips shall still be
Give us ears to hear, hearts to know you more. As we trust you, God, lead our steps.
Cause I need you, Jesus. Jesus, come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Won't you capture me with grace? Capture me. Won't you capture me?
What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares. head to that beautiful and powerful name with me. Lord, we're so thankful for all you've done on the cross for us. Lord, would you help us not to take that work for granted? Help us know how to apply that power here on earth so we could better glorify you. Would you bless these tithes and offerings in Jesus' name? Amen. You can be seated. Some of you may not be aware that here at Northwoods, we have something called benevolence ministry. We use it to help individuals in need. And our elders this year have decided to dedicate this special Friday night offering to that ministry. So as part of our body, local Northwoods people apply. There's a process, but they may be in a crisis and need help with emergency car repair bills or medical bills or housing for a temporary stay. We like to help them with that ministry. Also, to a lesser extent, we might even help people that don't yet call Northwoods their home. So thank you for your faithful support. We'll use this funds all year long for that ministry. This year as a church, if you've heard some messages, you know that we have a focus this year as part of our strategy to invite people to church. If you remember Pastor John's sermon a while back, we got a sticker. And you and I have been praying for our special four or more by name. I want to invite these people to church. I want to see them come to know Jesus. So this Easter weekend is a great opportunity to do that. You still have over a day left. But I will caution you, don't invite them to Saturday night service because we don't have one. All right? So Saturday, special weekend. We're not having a Saturday night service, but invite them back. Regular service times all across campus this Sunday for Easter Sunday. We can't wait to be here with you for that great time together. Well, it is Good Friday. So over 2,000 years ago, Jesus gathered his disciples for the Last Supper. And I'll read, this is Luke 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They asked. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover.
It seemed like such a waste. A waste of your potential. A waste of your life. In a matter of hours, your flesh would be torn apart like the bread on this table. Your blood poured out like this wine. And you knew. In a matter of hours, you'd be burdened with splitting all of time in two. With a short time left, we sat down. We ate food. We drank wine. The final hours with our teacher, our Messiah. The final hours with my friend. This was it.
Thank you. then sings my soul.
Nothing quite like witnessing dramatic and miraculous rescues. We're wowed by the heroism of those involved. We know the thrill we feel when the traumatic event is over and people have made it out alive. Many of you will remember how the world's attention was riveted on the rescue of 12 youth from a soccer team in Thailand last July. Remember that? They were caught in a cave, and they were rescued by an incredible SEAL team that swam them to safety. And we can think of other rescues. There are rescues from daunting circumstances, and there is another type of rescue where you sense you have been kept from experiencing something that could have been really bad. This big cross up here tonight speaks to us of rescue in more ways than one. In a moment, we'll talk about what the cross did for us, but in a more immediate sense, as it was being stained this past week and prepared for the stage, some of the rags that had been used had been tossed in a trash can over in the maintenance building and apparently triggered some kind of chemical reaction. So for about 40 minutes last Saturday night, starting at about 6:30 when I got up here to preach and I was trying to bring the fire in here, we had a fire of another kind going on in the maintenance building, literally, for nearly 40 minutes. And we thought we'd let you see. It was going pretty good at one point. And there is no explanation for why only the trash can and the rags burned. And it was all sitting right there next to a pile of lumber that should have just gone up and the whole building should have gone. But that's all that happened. And so when we saw that on Tuesday, we came in here and saw the video of that. We have movement sensors that show us what's going on in the building, you know. We saw that and said, praise God, he rescued us. He kept something from happening that could have been really bad. And what rich symbolism that is for us today. May that be the testimony of our hearts and our lips whenever we consider the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise God, he rescued us and kept us from something that could have been really bad. On this Good Friday, we are gathered here, and I welcome you. It's so great to see this place nearly full. And those of you who are watching online, great to have you with us. But we are gathered together to celebrate the greatest rescue ever. Not just a rescue in time. Because you recognize, as great as those are, those people will eventually, given enough years, die. They're rescued for time. But we're talking about a rescue that went beyond time and into eternity. Not too long ago, as I was doing some Bible reading, I began to notice this theme of rescue as it related to the cross of Christ and what he accomplished for us when he bled and died on Good Friday. John the Baptist, seeing Jesus coming one day, called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And any Jew in that day would have understood the concept of a sacrificial lamb. Since death came into the world through sin, see, the only way our sin could be atoned for and the penalty of death removed from us who deserved it is if something or someone else took our place and died in our stead. And the Jews understood this well. Way back in the Old Testament, as the Israelites are crying out for deliverance from Egypt, the only way their sin could be atoned for and they could go free is if something or someone else took their place. So God instituted what we know as the Passover. On the night that God was ready to deliver them from their slavery in Egypt, the only way they could be rescued and kept from death is if they carried the right kind of life insurance. And what was that life insurance? Well, a lamb would have to die. Its blood caught in a basin of some kind. And then they were told to take hyssop and sprinkle the blood on the doorpost of the house so that it looked something like this. On either doorpost, and then they were to sprinkle some blood above the doorway. I don't know if you catch the symbolism. A shadow of a deliverance that was to come. And because your life was under the blood, you would be saved. There was no sprinkling of the blood in the doorway. That would be called trampling the blood. And we have scriptures that reference that in the New Testament. But if you had the blood on the doorpost had been applied, you had the right life insurance, you were under the blood, and when the destroying angel saw the blood, which was the testimony of your house, he would pass over and you would be rescued from death. Now, think about it. The lamb could have been slain. The blood poured out in a basin. But had it not been applied, it would have done no good. Even some Egyptians had access as well to the covering. Had they killed a lamb and applied the blood, the death angel would have passed over them as well. But the point is, blood in the basin, blood available but not applied, did no one any good. Only as it was applied to the doorframe did it become effective in protecting the lives of those under the blood. And all those who applied the blood were rescued from slavery in Egypt, rescued from death. Now hold on to that picture, because it's a shadow of the reality. I always say every Old Testament illustration has a New Testament application. The Old Testament is the shadow, the New Testament is the reality. This is the shadow of the Lamb that was to come, the blood that was to be applied to our lives through Jesus Christ. It's a shadow of the reality was accomplished for us at the cross when Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, once and for all, shed his blood to pay the penalty for our sin. And in doing so, the Bible says he rescued us. The moment you put your faith in Christ and confessed him as your Lord, the blood was applied to your life, and you are now under the blood, rescued. You have been rescued and saved for all eternity. That is true. But there are rescues in time. So I want to show you the dimensions here, believers in particular, that while the blood has been applied to your life, there are battles you still face today. And knowing that the blood is in the basin doesn't do you any good unless you pick up the hyssop and apply it to where the enemy is coming against you today, even though you're already saved. You're rescued for eternity, but there are rescues in time that God wants to bring to your life. And this is what we're going to look at tonight, just four rescues spoken about that become my experience as I pick up the blood now applied to my life and direct it toward the enemy of my soul. Let's look at these rescues. Amazing rescue number one is this. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 says, "For he," that is God, "rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Literally, we have been rescued from that word dominion means the authority of darkness. Satan has authority. And when you were living without Christ, you were not under the blood. You were under the authority. You were under the dominion of Satan and his dark powers. But when you surrendered your life to Jesus, you were brought out from under his authority. You were placed under the authority of the new king by the testimony of your trust in the blood. Jesus sees the blood on your life, see? Practically speaking, that means Satan has no authority over you now except what you give him. You've been rescued from his dominion, and my question is, why would you give any authority back to the one whose stated intent is to steal, kill, and destroy things in your life? Bear fans, bear with me, this is a good illustration. I enjoyed the fact that during free agency this year, the Packers stole one of your really good defensive backs, Adrian Amos. And he will now suit up for the Pack. For the sake of illustration, okay? So don't send me any notes, this is for the sake of illustration. Laugh with me, all right? Let's just say that when we paid the price for him, he was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he is now under new management. Stay with me. Let's suppose now that when we open the season with you guys next September on Thursday night, you know, we're the opening game up in Soldier Field. Let's say that his old defensive coordinator and his old bosses start yelling at him and threatening him and saying things like, dude, I want you to leave our wide receiver uncovered on this next play. And if you don't, we're going to meet you out in the parking lot after the game. And let's say that some of his old buddies start coming around. Say, dude, you remember what it was like when you played for us? And man, we'll give you a couple $1,000 to just leave this guy uncovered, okay? And we'll buy the drinks after the game if you just leave it, you know. Start tempting him to live as if he's still playing for them. And so he takes the bait. Leaves the guy uncovered. Bears score. Packer coaches are up in arms with Adrian Amos. They're saying, what were you thinking? Where were you on that play? Why weren't you where you were supposed to be? Why didn't you cover the receiver? Can you imagine if he said, well, my old friends offered me drinks after the game and several $1,000s, and my bosses told me to do it and said they'd, my old bosses told me to do it, said they'd hurt me if I didn't. The Packer coaches would say, dude, you are under new management now. You're no longer under their authority. You know, next time they try to tell you what to do, just look at them and say, sorry, you're not my boss anymore. You have no authority over me, and I'm not afraid of your idle threat. Likewise, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the blood was applied to your life, you were bought with a price, and you came out from under the authority of the enemy. You are now under new management. The only thing the enemy can do now is tempt you to run his plays and try to bluff you into believing that he still has control over your life. But that's what it is, a bluff. So understand, our initial rescue happened when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The blood was applied, but our ongoing day-to-day rescue in the battle we face depends upon our enforcing the power of the blood when the enemy comes to tempt us or bluff us into surrendering our authority to him. Now, I want you to draw the parallel between what I just showed you and this verse. Revelation 12:11. Mark it down, write it down, memorize it. It's your battle strategy. It says that in our current everyday engagement with the accuser, that's the name of Satan, the accuser. It says they, meaning we as believers, overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The word of our testimony is our mouth speaking what the word of God says about the blood of Christ. In other words, even though you have been rescued from the dominion of darkness ultimately, there is still a day-to-day battle to fight. How do you win that battle? You don't leave the blood in the basin. No, you pick up the hyssop. What is that? Your tongue. The word of your testimony, which takes the blood from the basin and applies it right where you need it, when you need it, whenever the enemy is attacking. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. When he tries to make you feel powerless, whenever he attempts to bring fear, worry, depression, guilt, shame, addiction, whatever, testify to what God has said about the power of the blood. You have been delivered from the dominion of darkness. The enemy has no authority over you. So apply the blood. Pick up your hyssop stalk. Engage your tongue and testify to the power of the blood. This way, you don't have to write these down. I'm going to give you four statements, but I've put them on a card. I want you to keep it in your Bible. I want you to start pulling these out every day and making these. It's like you're picking up. Can you give that to me? You're picking up your hyssop and you're applying it. And this is what the first one says. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of his cross, I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, and the devil now has no authority over me. Say it with me. Here we go. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of his cross, I have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, and the devil now has no authority over me. Give him praise for that. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Here's amazing rescue number two. We have been rescued from the present evil age. Galatians 1:4, in referring to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he laid down his life on the cross, says Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins. Look at this. Here's the word, rescue us from the present evil age. What does that mean? Since obviously I'm still living in the present evil age. Well, there are two dimensions included in this rescue. Obviously, we can know that when our life here on earth is over, we will be transported directly to heaven because we've been rescued from the present evil age. And what a comfort that brings to our lives when we or a loved one are facing death. As I stood with my family in my dad's room this past October 22nd, and I was just thinking of that the other day again, that this is my first Easter in my life without my father. 94 Easters, he knew. And October 22nd, as we stood by his bed knowing that any minute he'd be gone, through our tears, we prayed for him and then sang his favorite hymn, "Oh, love of God, how rich and pure," as he took his final breath. And though we grieved his passing, there was not one ounce of despair in the room that night, but only the confident assurance that through the blood of Christ, he'd been rescued from this present evil age. When that last breath came, my dad was immediately ushered into the presence of Jesus. That is the hope of every believer, and it's a hope that sustains us when we lose loved ones. Listen, some of you have. And it's been a while, and you're still grieving. I understand that. There are tears when you think of your loved ones, but here's what I'm saying. If it just feels like you are wrecked internally, and it's just like the enemy keeps bringing this fear and emotional upheaval to you, don't leave the blood in the basin. Take it and apply it to where you need it. By the word of your testimony, apply what God's word says about the blood to your grieving emotions, your pain and loss, so that you feel the strength of God in that very place and the confidence that he wants you to have. You've been rescued from the present evil age. Now, beyond our future rescue, the main focus of this rescue right here in Galatians 1:4 is that we have been delivered from the power of evil right now. And from the values of this present world system, which stands opposed to Christ. This present world system holds no sway over the child of God. The power of evil holds no attraction to the child of God. So when the devil comes prowling around, trying to allure and tempt you by the sights and sounds of this present evil age, apply the word of your testimony about the power of the blood of Christ to the very place where the enemy is tempting you, and he will have to flee. Don't leave the blood in the basin. Pick up the hyssop stalk. Apply it to your life. Keep on speaking. Listen, guys, victory does not depend on your feelings. It doesn't depend on your situation, your symptoms, your circumstances, but upon the application of the blood of Christ. So make this your confession. Let's say it together. Here comes number two. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of his cross, I have been rescued from this present evil age so that the power of evil and the values of this present world system now have no place in my life or control over me. Anybody want to praise God for the blood of Jesus? Amazing rescue number three. We've been rescued from this body of death. Romans 7:24, Paul is stating the frustration of our struggle with sin. It's a picture of the defeated Christian life, one who's trying to find their victory in the flesh instead of in the power of the Spirit. And Paul cries out, "What a wretched man I am." And then he asks, "Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And in verse 25, he gives us the resounding answer. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying, I have been rescued. But what does Paul mean by this body of death? It's not just the fact that this body's going to die someday and that I will be rescued out of this body of death when that time comes. No, he's talking about sin seeking to control these mortal bodies now and working its deadly influence over every aspect of our lives. You live for sin, you get death to your closeness to God, you get death in your relationships with others, you get death and despair in your emotional and mental world, you get death and disease in your physical body. And if you're a believer who feels like your bodily existence is producing more death than life, you feel like Paul, oh wretched man that I am, that is not the cry of the victorious Christian. If that is all the gospel offers, a wretched existence where I'm forgiven but still bound by sin, then I say God might as well knock me off right now and take me home to heaven so that I don't bring disreproach on the name of Christ because I'm living a wretched life. No. Through Jesus Christ, this body of death has been put out of commission so that through the power of his cleansing blood and the life of the Spirit of God, I can live a victorious Christian life. I used to have a professor that said, the victorious Christian life isn't Romans 7. You get out of Romans 7 and into Romans 8. And you do that by the application of the blood of Christ. Where there is now no condemnation, where I'm no longer controlled by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. That's the normal Christian life. Oh, it's not that I am incapable of sinning anymore, but as I yield to the Holy Spirit, my body brings forth the righteousness of Jesus, and I am delivered from this body of death. Wow, what a rescue. And so this becomes effective in my life through my confession of what the blood of the Lamb has done for me. Don't leave the blood in the basin, but testify to what the Word of God says is true of the blood. Let's say it together. Here's our amazing rescue, number three. Say it with me. In the name of Jesus, and by the blood of his cross, I have been rescued from this body of death. My body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, and sanctified by the blood of Jesus, and a slave to righteousness. Amen? That's the blood applied to my life. One more amazing rescue, number four. I've been rescued from the coming wrath. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 to 10, and referring to the testimony of these Thessalonican believers, which is our testimony as well, he says, people around you can see the change in life. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus, look at this, who rescues us from the coming wrath. It will be a terrible thing in the end times to fall under the wrath of God. But he will make a distinction once again between those who follow him and those who do not. As the Antichrist spirit raises his head in our day, now more than ever, believers had better take their theology and their politics, I might add, from the Word of God. This I know, Jesus will come again, and he will wrap up history. Do we have an assignment to steward this earth to the best of our abilities? Yes. But guys, there is a pagan notion that looks at Mother Earth as the Savior, and that's what a lot of people are worshiping today who do not know the Word of God and how this world is going to end. That's where a lot of this so-called progressive Green Deal is coming from. It's a worship of the earth, and we have to take care of it, or guys, we're not going to be here 12 years from now. I say to anyone who has not listened to the Word of God on the authority of his Word, summer, winter, springtime, harvest will go on until Jesus Christ wraps it up. And the only thing that is going to warm up this earth is when he comes again. It will be the blazing glory of his return that ends it all. That is what you should fear. You would do well to bow to him and bring your life under the authority of his word. I say that to every politician out there who has trampled the word of God and the blood of Christ under their feet today. There is coming a day when the wrath of God will be poured out on all those who have trampled the word, the blood of Jesus underfoot and rejected the Son of God. And apart from his blood, there will be no remission of sins, but only the fearful expectation of judgment. Just as back in the days of God's deliverance of his people from Egypt, while all the plagues were falling upon the Egyptians in their refusal to honor God, blood, frog, gnats, flies, livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, finally the killing of the firstborn. On that fateful night when there was death, weeping, and loud wailing in Egypt as the wrath of God was poured out, there was not even the sound of a dog barking in the Israeli camp, because they were protected and rescued by the blood of Christ from the wrath of God. And so it is a picture in our day. Oh yes, as believers, we are touched by the brokenness of this world, by pain, by death, along with the persecution of those who oppose Christ. But trust me, when at last God stands up and says enough is enough, and he pours out his wrath upon those who have resisted his grace, we will, in that moment, who have trusted Jesus Christ, be protected and rescued from his wrath. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us, it's talking about us who have believed in Jesus, he did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the blood has been applied to our lives and are now speaking a word of protection and rescue before God, before his throne tonight, through the Son of God, who knows the word of your testimony. That's why we can make this our confession. Here's your final one. Let's do our confession, guys. Put it up there. Down there on the controls, you're falling asleep. Let's go. Put it up there. Let's say it together. I have been rescued from the wrath of God because the blood of Jesus is speaking in God's presence on my behalf right now. Is that awesome? Listen, the blood of Jesus has been spilled. It's in the basin, as it were. It's available to all. And I said, on that fateful night in Egypt, if even a few Egyptians who feared God butchered the lamb and applied it to the doorpost, they were delivered from death along with the people of God. It was not a matter of nationality. It was a matter of faith in the word of God and the blood applied. And likewise, in the Israeli camp, if they just said, well, I believe I'm a child of God and the blood's, I sacrifice lamb and I put it in the basin, but I don't think I need to give testimony to it. Had it not been on the doorpost of their life, they would not have been protected because they were not under the blood. Today, the blood of the lamb has been poured out once for all time. It becomes effective for time and eternity by the word of your testimony and the confession of your faith. And I want to just bow your head and your heart right now before we go into a celebration of this fact, a celebration of communion. And if you're a child of God and you know that the blood has been applied to your life, thank him for your rescue. And understand that you have a right at any moment where the enemy attacks you to pick up the hyssop stalk, your tongue, and apply the blood of the Lamb afresh to the battle you're facing today. And I'm telling you, you commit to daily. I would say for a while, just take these statements and confess them daily, and you are going to find that there is stuff breaking off of your life because the devil has no authority over you. But I just wonder tonight if there might be someone who came in here, maybe with your family or whatever, you're going to Good Friday, but if I were to ask you, are you under the blood? And you were to say to me, well, I know I'm not. Or you were to say, I don't know for sure. Why don't you make tonight the night where you get sure? Why not leave here knowing that your life is under the blood, that you got the best life insurance plan you could ever have? Simply make it your confession of faith. How you apply that blood even in the battle is how you apply that blood at the beginning. Make it your confession of faith tonight that you want the blood of Christ applied to your life. Just pray with me if you're not sure, if you know you've never done this, pray with me. Release your faith and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you died on a cross and shed your blood for me. And by faith right now, I ask you to forgive me and come into my life. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And I believe that God raised him from the dead. And by the word of my testimony, trusting in the blood of Christ, I now believe by faith that I am forgiven, saved, and justified according to your word. That I am under the blood through faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making that my reality tonight. If you prayed that, I want you on the way out tonight to pick up one of these yes packets. This is a New Believer's Bible. We put some a card in there that gives you some understanding. You can go online and we'll give you all kinds of directions for how to begin to walk out your faith now. But if you prayed that prayer tonight and said, man, I know tonight I'm leaving here. My life is under the blood. I want you to pick up one of these as your testimony that you did that, okay? Now, as a way of declaring our faith in what Jesus has done, we're going to take communion together as a visible testimony of what Jesus has done to rescue us. And so as those who are serving come now, I want to just ask you to hold the bread, hold the cup till we've all received, and then we'll partake together. If you're not a follower of Jesus, we're glad you're here. But I would just say, if this isn't your testimony that you're trusting the blood and the bread, just pass it on by. If you just prayed that prayer with me, this is a great way to declare your testimony right from the start. Again, just hold the cup, hold the bread, and we'll partake in a little bit. Thank you. And so as before Jesus would triumph over the temptation to run in the garden, before he would go to the pain of the cross, he meets with the disciples in the upper room to celebrate what? The Passover, the Seder meal. For the last time, he would eat it with them as merely a shadow, because now he's going to become the reality that fulfills the shadow. And he says, as he took the bread and broke it and said, this is my body broken for you, as often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. Now, no longer thinking back to the lamb that had to be slain. And what was it? They were to eat every bit of that lamb. Don't leave a bit of it. Why? Because that was strength for their journey. And so now we break the bread and partake of the bread as the application of the power and the strength that is ours through Jesus for our mortal bodies to defeat sin, to overcome disease and sickness as a sign that one day we will be completely well. But right now, for the weakness of our body, Lord, I partake of your strength. And I declare that I have been rescued, body, soul, spirit, from this present evil age. I am now under new management, bringing forth righteousness from my life. That's all. It's all ours. Isn't that awesome? So as you partake, release your faith to him and thank him for the strength and power coming to you now as you feed on his body broken for you. Let's partake together. And then after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant. I know it used to hearken back to the blood on the doorway. That was the shadow. But now, it's reality. And so this cup is the new covenant in my blood, given for the remission of sins, as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of me. What are we to remember? We've been rescued, and we have all the power we need to fight the battles today and to walk in victory through the blood of Christ until we see him. Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord
for today. In Romans chapter 6, the Bible explains that when we surrender to Christ, we get included in his sin-conquering death. And we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. Never again will death have the last word. Sing this with us.
Then on the third, yeah, at break of dawn, the sun
but Sunday, you're bringing someone with you to come to Easter and celebrate with us. If you have any prayer needs, just come on down to the front. We'd love to pray for you. Good night, everybody. For those of you who are online, we're just so glad that you joined us for this celebration of what Jesus did for us. If you made that decision tonight to follow Jesus, just go ahead and press that button and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. We'd love to send you materials so that you can know more about him. We're glad you've come, and make sure you come back for Easter. We'll be looking forward to you guys watching God as he moves in this place. Good night.